Mark chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others, some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of scripture? "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. For the last few weeks, we have had a friend called Leah living with us. Leah used to be a vicar in South Wales, but for some time now, she's felt that God is calling her into the religious life as part of a religious community. Or to put it another way, she's felt called to be a nun. She's originally from America, and so she's taken the decision to go back to America to explore joining a religious community over there. In order to prepare for her departure, she's had to let go of a lot of things. Firstly, she left her job. Then she left her home, both the community she belonged to and the house where she lived. Because she's moved out of her vicarage and is now effectively homeless, she gave away all of her furniture. Because she feels God is calling her to a life of simplicity, she's given away most of her belongings. The little she has left is now in our loft. And then earlier this week, she sold her car. Her car key was the last key she owned, and now that she sold the car, she doesn't own a single key. Then yesterday we packed up our car, took her to Heathrow, gave thanks for 20 years in the UK and let her go into the unknown. It was a very poignant moment. As we explore this passage this morning, I'd like you to think about that idea of letting go of things and holding on to things. Last week in our service, we looked at Mark chapter 10 and the idea of service and serving others. And at the end of last week's Bible passage, Jesus said this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for the ransom as a ransom for many." You can see that we've got a similar theme in today's parable and that Mark is continuing to point us to the cross and to the death of Jesus. The first thing to say about the scene in which this passage takes place is that it happens in the temple. We're told a few verses beforehand that Jesus was walking in the temple courts and the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders came to him and asked, "By what authority are you doing these things?" So as well as a theme of letting go and laying down, there's also a theme once again of authority. We've seen that several times now in Mark's gospel. The parable that Jesus told would have been a familiar story to those religious leaders. There's a similar story in Isaiah chapter 5, where a man plants a vineyard and cares for it, but when it comes to harvest time, the grapes have gone bad, and so he lets the vineyard fall into ruin. And in Isaiah, it's an allegorical story that describes the relationship between God and the people of Israel. So there are some immediate similarities in this story, in that once again, God is the owner of the vineyard. But this story doesn't end up with the destruction of the vineyard. It ends up with the vineyard being entrusted to more worthy tenants. So as I say, the moment Jesus started telling this parable, it would have been ringing bells for the people listening. So what's going on here? Well, in Jesus' time, it was very common for landowners to entrust their land to tenant farmers. At harvest time, the tenants would give part of the harvest to the owner in lieu of rent, and they kept the other part as their share of the profit. And what happens in this story is that the tenants withhold the landlord's share. The harvest belongs to the landlord, but they won't let it go. In the context of the parable, the tenants are like the religious leaders who are there listening, and they are abusing their position and abusing their power. In the parable, the owner sends two servants to collect the rent. They beat the first and they kill the second. So the owner sends his son. Why, you might ask, does he send his son? On one level, it seems an unwise decision given what they've done to the servants. But I think there are two answers to that question. The first is that the son has the father's authority. Legally, he carries more weight than the servants. So his presence is the equivalent of the owner coming in person. But secondly, I think the landowner is treating the tenants with honour in the hope and expectation that they will do the same. Sadly, rather than bringing out the best in them, it brings out the worst in them. They realise that if they kill the son, there's no one to inherit the property, and legally, they can take it. It was the role of the tenants to care for the vineyard, but they abused their position and the power that had been entrusted to them. For the religious leaders who were listening to this parable, the question that they needed to ask themselves was, for whom am I in charge? Whose interests am I here to serve? Yes, the religious leaders had position and power and they had privilege, but it was entrusted to them by God. The authority belongs to God. They were in charge on behalf of God. And now that God has sent his son, rather than recognizing the authority of the son and letting go of that power, they were trying desperately to hold on to it, to hold on to all that had been, because they didn't want things to change. Look at the contrast that is in this story. On the one hand, the tenants were holding on to something, grasping that which wasn't rightfully theirs, whilst Jesus was willing to let go of everything, to lay down his life, just like the son in the parable. Although this story ends in tragedy, when I read it, it doesn't actually feel like a tragic ending. And I think that's because Jesus tells his listeners that the owner of the vineyard will come back and kill the tenants, and then he will give the vineyard to others. So the vineyard can't be possessed by the tenants. It belongs to God, and the inheritance won't be lost. Although the son's life is lost, it feels as if justice is still done, that the people who are trying to take that which isn't theirs don't get it. And then right at the end of the passage, after he's finished telling the story, Jesus, well, throws down the gauntlet to the religious leaders and he says, haven't you read this passage of scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. To paraphrase Jesus, I think he's saying, you know, you think you're experts in building God's temple, and here we are in his temple, but you've rejected the very person who holds it all together. Do you see what I mean? That the authority belongs to God. He entrusts it to those religious leaders, and yet they miss the very thing that God is doing in this moment. I talked a moment ago about my friend Leah, and as I read this passage this week, she came to mind, and I think it's because of her willingness to let go of the things that other people hold on to, in that same way that Jesus is willing to let go of his own life. The tenants needed to ask themselves the questions, whose interests am I here to serve? And we need to ask ourselves the same question. Leah can let go of everything, even her last key, because she recognises that everything, absolutely everything, even down to the gift of life, comes from God. And she has submitted herself to God, and she's chosen to serve God's interests. Now, God doesn't ask all of us to do what Leah's done. Thank goodness, I am far too materialistic. But what might he be asking of you? or me? Are there things that you're holding on to that you might need to let go of? 2 weeks ago, Paul preached on Mark chapter 8 and the challenge there to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. And he said at the time that the only way that we can do that is by trusting and believing that that is the way that leads to life, that somehow in death and loss and letting go, that God can bring life. The more stuff that Leah has given away, the lighter and more joyful she has become. It has been extraordinary to watch. Whose interests am I here to serve? Whose interests are you here to serve? Whose interests are we here to serve as the Good Shepherd and St. Peter's? The temptation is to be like the religious leaders, to hold on to our position, our power, our place in this community, our rights and privileges, our practices and traditions, our way of doing things, to hold on to our church. Over the past year, we have lost a lot and we've let go of a lot. And in the coming months, there may be more that we need to let go of. But when we look back, I pray that in the midst of letting go, we realise that we've discovered true life. Amen.